Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15, starting with verse 51. We're going to go to the screen right up here. If you have your cell phones, put them on the off and silent position. Once again, I've entitled this morning's message, The Feast of Trumpets. The Feast of Trumpets. Amen. Amen. Are we there, 1 Corinthians 15:51? Okay, so I got the word up here as well, if you didn't bring your Bible. Here we go. Starting with verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be, what? Changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. That's a key phrase right there. At the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we, notice it says we. Point to your neighbor and say, we shall be changed, right? Look at verse 53. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. You guys remember that one show called The Immortal?
Yeah.
Who was it with? The guy that was on The Big Valley. He played Heath. Okay, you guys know who that guy was, right? Okay, he played the immortal, right? Well, we're actually going to have bodies that are going to be immortal.
Yes, we are.
Listen, how many believe the scripture?
Yeah.
Well, then you better believe this. Believe this, what God's going to do, He's about to do with us. For this corruptible, so in other words, we live in a corruptible body. This body's corrupt. It's got to go back to the dust. It's going to die eventually. Because it's birthed out of sin. It's corrupt. Our minds, our thinking, it's corrupt. We can try, well, man, we can go, I don't want to think about that. I don't want to think about that. And then all of a sudden, that thought comes. I remember what Bishop Raymond Trout, Father Trout, not Joel, he said, birds will always fly around your head. Just don't allow them to lay a nest on your head. In other words, don't entertain those thoughts. Rebuke them. So look at this. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Amen. Amen. Let me ask this question. If there was a calamity coming, you guys all remember Katrina? Okay, back in 2005, right? I watched the documentary on Netflix. It was so sad. And people were being warned about getting out of there. They're being warned about getting out, and someone just stayed. Man, they should have left Dodge. But let me just ask you this. If something of that magnitude were to hit us, wouldn't you want to know in advance? Right? You would want to know in advance. Well, God is letting us know in advance He's coming for His church. He's letting us know. He's not being the boogeyman. Boo, I'm here. No. He's saying, prepare your hearts, because I'm coming. Prepare your hearts. It's been years now. Prepare your hearts. Live holy. Live sanctified. Confess those sins. If you have sinned, confess it. Let it go. God will cleanse you, wash you. So we need to look at the last three fall feasts that are soon to come. I need you to catch this, because when you look in the book of Leviticus, if you don't have a Hebraic breakdown of certain words in there, it's going to go over your head like this. What is that? Let's go to Leviticus right here. Leviticus 23:2. Look at this. I have it underlined there because those are words. One word we think we may know, and the other one is like, I don't know. So let's look at this. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them concerning the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations. Even these are my feasts. So the first thing that comes to mind, if you're new to the Bible, you don't understand this, you're thinking hometown buffet. You're thinking of Golden Corral. You're thinking of all you can eat. Feast. We're going to a feast. Now, Tuesday night, we are going to have a feast here. Okay, but that's what comes to mind, right? Because in the English doesn't do us any justice. And then you shall proclaim a holy convocation. What's a convocation to you? Okay? And even these are my feasts, right? So, we need to look at those words that I underlined, we need to look at them in the Hebrew. The Hebrew will tell you what that word means. Let's look at this. The Hebrew word for feast is also moed. So, feast means moed in Hebrew, meaning appointed times. It don't mean hometown buffet. It don't mean all-you-can-eat Chinese. It's appointed times in the Hebrew. The Hebrew word for convocation is mikra, meaning a dress rehearsal. So for thousands of years, our Jewish friends, they celebrate the seven feasts of the Lord. They celebrate them every year. But little do they know is, the last three are dress rehearsals because Jesus fulfilled the first four already. And it's beyond them. They don't see Jesus in the feast. They don't see him at all. So let's look at this. Let's look at our chart. This is our chart I need to bring to your attention here. The spring feast is Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits. 50 days later, then we go into Pentecost. So Jesus died on Passover. He was buried in the tomb, unleavened bread. Unleavened is bread without any yeast. Yeast in the Old Testament was a type of sin. So Jesus had no sin as he was in the tomb. Then on the third day, on the Feast of First Fruits, he rose again. 50 days later, the Holy Ghost is poured out on Pentecost. Now we look at the fall. Those have not yet been fulfilled. So, if we look at Pentecost to our present day, it's been 2,000 years. God has been harvesting souls for that long. Now, if you want to know where we're at now, okay, before we go there, so the fall feasts are trumpets, Yom Kippur, tabernacles. Tabernacles, we don't know what year. Some believe in 2032 on tabernacles. That's when Jesus will step on the Mount of Olives, and then we will be with him forevermore. We'll be with him for 1,000 years on this earth. So let's look at this time frame. Where are we right now? Where is the church right now? Let's look at this. This is the seven dispensations of the Bible. Okay, so here you got creation. It's found in Genesis. So you have Adam. Then you have Cain and Abel. Then came human. Okay, that was conscience. So you had innocence, conscience, and then human government was established during the time of Noah. Abraham was the promise. Okay? Moses was the law. Now, you see where it's grace and truth? That's the church age. That's us. We are in the church age. Now, let me come over here, right here on this side. You see where it says rapture? Many believe the rapture is now at the end of the grace, the church year. And then what comes after the rapture? The seven-year tribulation. Then, after the tribulation, this gold right here, this whole time, is 1,000 years we're going to spend with Jesus on this earth in our brand new bodies. How many can't wait for that? So we're at the very end of the church age. We're at the very end of the church age. My goodness. My goodness. Woo! We're at the very end of the church age. Lord have mercy. Thank you, God. So once again, let's look at this. Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, Pentecost. All been fulfilled. The last three, trumpets. We're going to focus on trumpets. It's Tishri 1 and 2. Earlier, you guys wrote down the time when Tishri 1 will begin. Our time tomorrow morning at 8:37 a.m. It'll be sunset in Jerusalem. They're 10 hours ahead of us. Yeah, they're 10 hours ahead of us. So, and then the feast is over at 8:38 a.m. Wednesday morning. So it's a two-day feast. Okay, Tishri 1, Tishri 2, on the Hebrew calendar. And so what we're reading right now, what we're teaching on is the Feast of Trumpets. And we're looking at what takes place on that particular holiday. It's a high, holy holiday of the Lord. So the Jews, they look at it as every year a tradition. We as born-again believers are looking at it with anticipation that Christ is coming. Amen? Because they don't see Christ in the first, they don't see Christ at all in the feast. We do though. We do though. Praise God. Okay, now, let's go to the next slide here. Feast of Trumpets is a type of repentance. This is what the Jews do, but this is what we need to do too. Can I get an amen? Is staying with a repentant heart. If there's anything that we need to give to God, this is the time to give it to God. Can I get an amen? Amen. Give Him everything. Everything that doesn't honor Him. Anything that's an enemy to the cross, you got to just surrender it. It could be a lot of things that we hold on to. And every one of us have something different from one another, but some things God's saying, give it to me because it's not good for you. And then Feast of Yom Kippur. That's redemption. That's when judgment's coming. That's when He's going to judge. And when He comes on the Feast of Yom Kippur, He's going to judge the world. Big time, where He's going to wipe everybody out. And then we're going to come with Him. We're going to come with Him from heaven on the Feast of Tabernacles. And we're going to live with Him on this planet with no sin. Just imagine having a mind with no sin. No wars. No famine. No disease. No HMO or PPOs. No doctor's appointments. No more lawyers. No more nothing. No more meds. Oh, I forgot to take my med. None of that. All that's going to be gone. So, let's look at this. We need to look at idioms, not idiot. Idioms. Idioms for the Feast of Yom Terah. Yom Terah is the Feast of Trumpets. Okay, that's what it is in Hebrew, Yom Terah. The blowing of the trumpets. Amen? So, What is an idiom? Webster Dictionary says it best. Look at this. It's a construction or expression of one language whose parts correspond to elements in another language, but whose total structure is matched in an indirect way. Perfect example. My brother, this November, man, won't you come over for some gobble-gobble? What am I talking about? Turkey. Thanksgiving. We all know what gobble-gobble in November is, right? Yeah. So we understand what we were talking about, right? Well, that's what an idiom is. I didn't say come over for Thanksgiving. I said, come on, we're going to have some gobble-gobble on November. Watch some football. We all know what that is, right? It's an idiom. It's an indirect way of saying you're coming over for Thanksgiving. And that's what that means. That's what that definition means. So, there are going to be several things that take place on the Feast of Trumpets. Woo! Let me just say this. The moment we're raptured out of here, this is what's going to take place. The seven-year tribulation. The seven-year tribulation. You don't want to be here when God pours out his wrath. Can I get amen? The Bible says we're not appointed unto wrath, but unto salvation. My goodness. So, one of the things that takes place on the Feast of Trumpets will be the beginning of what's called the time of Jacob's trouble. The tribulation is found in the book of Daniel. We don't have time to scripture search all that. I'm just going over some of these idioms. Number two, the day of the awakening blast, the rapture of the church, the blast. Woo! How many can't wait for that moment? Come on. Come on, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus. And then what takes place on the Feast of Trumpets? Number three, it's called Yom Hadin, the day of judgment, the opening of the books, the opening of the gates. God starts opening the books and he starts making judgments. You ever looked in the book of Psalms and we sing certain songs like open up the gates. You know, you hear the gates in your courts. Okay, did you know that there's a heavenly court? And God rules from his throne in that court. And we're going to be in that court. But for us believers, he's not going to... We've already been judged on the cross. Our sins have been dealt with already. When we stand in the courts up there with him, it's going to be the Bema Seat of Christ. This is where he disperses his blessings to us. And he's not going to expose you because everything's covered under the blood. He's not going to do that. It's the unbeliever where he's going to make a shame of and send them into the lake of fire. Just imagine thinking that you thought you were saved and never been filled with the Holy Ghost. Thinking, oh yeah, I'm saved. Never had the Spirit of God living inside you. And get dropped into hell. Jesus, help us! This is why you better know that you know. Can I get amen? You got to know that you know. That you're his. Let's sound the alarm. Sound the alarm. Then we look at this one. Yom HaKeset, the hidden day. We're going to talk about the hidden day. On the Feast of Trumpets, it's called the hidden day. Ooh, you know what? You know why it's called the hidden day? He's going to hide us from his wrath. He's going to hide us. He's going to tuck us away as he pours out his wrath on the earth. Wow. And then there's HaKiddushin, Nusuin, the wedding of the Messiah. Ooh, we're going to consummate our marriage. Did you know that you're betrothed? Do you know that he has betrothed us? We're waiting now. We're the bride of Christ. How many believe we're the bride of Christ? Time and time and time again, we read, we're the bride of Christ. Well, he's coming back for us. We've been betrothed. He's coming back for his bride. Thank you, God. And he's not a two-time lover. I mean, he loves us. And us alone. Can I get an amen? And then we look at Hamalek, the coronation of when we're in heaven, we are going to see his father coronate him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. We're going to see the coronation of the King. How many can't wait for that? We get to see it. Not the world. We're going to be up there seeing this. So let's break this down. Number one, let's break down the time of Jacob's trouble. This is the tribulation. It's the seven-year tribulation. It will be the beginning of a new seven-year Shemitah cycle. Look what it says in Jeremiah 30 right here. We're going to go quickly now. Ask now and see whether a man is ever in labor with child. So why do I see every man with his hands on his loins like a woman in labor? And all faces turn pale. Alas, for the day is great, so that none is like it. And it is the time of what? Jacob's trouble. But he shall be saved out of it. Hallelujah. We're going to be saved out of that. Can I get an amen? How many so blessed that God sought you out? How many remember when you was deep in sin? Deep. You were so deep in sin, you couldn't even see the light of day. Oh, come on. It was ugly. And God still chose to save you. Look what it said. Amen. Come on, give him a shout of praise right now. Come on, give him a hand clap. Jesus, thank you. Thank you, God. Look what it says in Daniel 12. Look at that. At that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation. So that hasn't happened yet, even to that time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are written in the book. Thank you. Now look how Daniel describes the rapture here. Look at this in the next verse. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. We just saw that middle linebacker from Ohio State lead all these people. You know that everyone that you lead to Christ, you're going to shine forever like a star? God's going to give you a crown. Jesus. Woo, thank you, God. Listen, what you do for Christ is not in vain. And don't look for any accolades. You're doing it unto Him. I'd rather do things for Christ and no one sees it so that He will reward me openly. Don't let the left hand know what the right hand is doing. Look what we found in Matthew here. For there will be great tribulation such has not been since the beginning of the world. We haven't seen anything like this yet until this time. Nor ever shall be. And unless those days are shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Wow. Man, I'm telling you, there's something horrific that's coming. And God's going to take us out of here. Can I get an amen? God's not going to allow His bride to be beaten up with a black eye and a bruised lip. All battered and tattered and shattered. And then we come to consummate the marriage in heaven. looking like someone ran us over with the tractor. You don't do that. Would you do that to your spouse, your fiance? No. Well, don't think God's going to do that either. Look at number 2. The day of the awakening blast, the rapture of the church. So look, on the Feast of Trumpets, the shofar is blown 100 times. There are 3 sounds made with the shofar. Look at this. Tikia, 1 long straight blast. Shevarim, 3 shorter blasts. Teruah, 9 quick blasts in short succession. This series is blown 11 times for a total of 99 blasts. And the final blast is known as the last trump. Now, I didn't have time to put it on the screen here. But this Feast of Trumpets in Israel, on Jerusalem, in Jerusalem, the Jews are calling, because they celebrate this, right? But they don't know Christ. They're calling it the last trump. They're calling it the last trump, and they're gonna blow that shofar, and it's gonna go around the world.
The first time
ever in history. Man, I'm telling you, we live in prophetic times. Can I get an amen? Woo! Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Listen, we just read this. We'll read it again. In 1 Corinthians, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be what? Changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. There it is. For the trumpet shall sound. For the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Look at this. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass a saying that is written, death is swallowed up in what?
Victory.
But we find this in 1 Thessalonians 4. Look at this. For the Lord himself. Say that with me. For the Lord himself. One more time. For the Lord himself. Look at this. Shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be what? Caught up. Caught up together with them in the clouds. To meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall ever be with what? With the Lord. So that's going to be the day of the awakening blast. Woo! We're gone. I can't wait. Let's look at this next idiom. Yon Hadim. The day of judgment. The opening of the books. The opening of the gates. Look at this in 1 Corinthians 3:13. Each one's work will become clear. Your work, my work. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. So everything we do is going to go through the fire and be tested by God. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Oh, listen, I don't want to just get in by smoking my tail. Can I get an amen? I want to go in knowing that, man, Lord, did I do anything for you, God? Did you count anything worthy, God? Oh, God. Listen, God's going to remember everything we've done for him. And he's going to also look at the motive. What motive was behind it? Did you do it out of a pure heart? Or did you do it to be seen by men? Can I get amen? Amen. He's going to read all that. And everything's going to go through the fire. Whatever remains, that's your reward. But the thing is, you'll be saved. You won't see that place of torment. Look at this. And I have scripture to prove it. that we're going to stand before Christ at the judgment. Look at this. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your consciousness. Can I get an amen? We're going to stand before God. It's called the judgment, the bema seat of Christ, the judgment seat. So whatever we do, do it with a pure heart. Do it because you do want to see that person saved.
Yeah.
Do it because you want to see that person healed.
Come on.
Can I get an amen? And then we see this in Revelation. Look at this. Revelation 20:11. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. Books were open. Another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to the works by the things which were written in the books. Look at verse 13. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Ooh, there's people going there. You know, there's real people going there. Wow. And then we talk about the gates. Remember we talked about the gates? Look at this. King David wrote this. Lift up your heads, all ye gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, all you gates. Lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory, and we know him as Jesus.
Yes.
Jesus is the King of glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And then he wrote this in 118, Psalms 118. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go through them, and I will praise the Lord. Turn to your neighbor and say, we will go through these gates. And we will praise him. We will praise him. Woo, look at this. Open to me the gates of righteousness, and I will go through them, and I will praise the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous shall enter. See, we have to go through a gate. Can I get an amen? But in order to go through that gate, we need to be washed in the blood.
Yes.
Hallelujah. We have to be a child of God. Can I get amen? We need to be born again. Thank you, God. Look at this. I will praise you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation. Hallelujah. Now, here comes some better news. Number four. It's called Yom HaKeseh, the hidden day. The hidden day. Guess what he hides us from? The wrath. And he hides us from Satan. He hides us from Satan. Because Satan's going to be cast into the lake. Amen? Look at this in Zephaniah. Those of you may not have been there in a while. If your pages stick together, you haven't been there in a while. But Zephaniah. Chapter 2, 1 through 3, look at this. Gather yourselves together, yes, gather together, O undesirable nation, before the decree is issued, or the day passes like chaff, before the Lord's fierce anger comes upon you. Before the day of the Lord's anger, what? Comes upon you. Seek the Lord, all you meek of the earth, who have upheld his justice. Seek righteousness. Seek humility. It may be that the Lord, look at this, it may be that you will be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger. You see that? God wants to hide you from his wrath. Thank you, God. Oh, let me tell you, because we're not appointed unto wrath. Can I get amen?
Amen?
Listen, this is why he came to the cross, for you and I. Our sins have been dealt at the cross. There's a lot of religious organizations out there are based on works salvation. They can't accept that God did everything on the cross. Now just walk holy before him. Love him. You know, when you start loving him, you will let those things go that dishonor him. Because you have a love relationship with them. Can I get amen?
Amen?
That's what he's looking for. But look at 1 Thessalonians 5:9. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, frighten one another. Oh, I'm sorry, I wrote that down wrong. Comfort one another. Comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. Praise God. Praise God. Look at Psalms 27:5. King David wrote this, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. Can I get amen? God's going to hide us. This is why he's got to take the church home. He's going to take us home to hide us from the wrath. This is the only reason why he's taking us home. Because then he's going to pour out his wrath. And this world's going to get ugly then. The Antichrist will show his face. And those tribulation saints, there's going to be some humans that still have a chance for salvation, but they have to give up their head. So I ask you this question. Why not give it up now by faith and cry out to God, or wait till you have to go to the executioner and get your heads lopped off? I don't get that, do you? We go to our friends and family, man, Jesus is coming. You need to come to Christ. You need to come to church. Yeah, you know, I'll come when I'm ready. I'm not ready right now. Just imagine when we're gone. Do you know that when we're gone, they're going to go into shock? I'm going to leave a letter on. I'm going to type up a letter probably tonight. I'm going to leave it on my kitchen table and say, you know what? Enjoy my home. There's Bibles here. But those of you that are reading this, it's because we said it over and over and over again that Jesus is coming for his church. The aliens did not come for us. It was Jesus. Can I get an amen? Look what Isaiah wrote here. Isaiah 26. Come, my people, enter your chambers and shut your doors behind you. Hide yourself as if it were for a little moment until what? The indignation has passed. Those are the 7 years. When that indignation passed, then God's going to bring us back to the earth. Look at this. For behold, the Lord comes out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. God's going to punish this earth. I bet you never saw that, huh? Oh, he's a loving God. He won't do that. Oh, yeah? We're reading right now, he's going to punish the inhabitants of the earth. Go take that up with God. And if you want to box with him, your arms are too short to box with him. Look at this. For the Lord comes out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth will also disclose her blood and will no more cover the slain. Wow. Wow, God's going to do something radical. So everyone who thought they have gotten away with murder, adultery, fornication, all this stuff, thinking they're all right, And when we're gone, the living hell that's going to be on this earth, they're going to want to die. Because they didn't repent. And they can't repent. The only way they're going to get salvation? Yes. That's why they're called the tribulation saints. And so this is also a hidden day from Satan. Jesus told his disciples, and look at this, in Matthew 24:36. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So he knew. God knows. He let us know. That either Tishri 1 or Tishri 2, he was coming to take the church home. The Feast of Trumpets. So, here's the big clue for us. The big clue is right here. But concerning the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. And they shall not what? They shall not escape. Can I get an amen? Ah, but look at this. Now he's talking to us that know. He's not talking to someone that don't know. Verse 4. But you, brethren, turn to your brother and sister. Say, you, brethren. Look at this. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. None of us are walking in darkness. He's allowing us to know the times. Can I get an amen? Amen. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do. That's why I had to show you that clip. God is waking up people. Around the nation, he's waking them up. Because a lot of them were asleep. There's still churches that have sleeping people in the church. They're like, just wake me up. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who get drunk are what? Drunk at night. Look at this. But let us know. Look at this. But let us who are of the day be sober. Putting on the breastplate of faith and love. As a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us unto wrath. But to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Can I get amen?
Amen.
So, the feast of trumpets is on Tishri 1 and 2. I showed you the chart. Okay? So Tishri 1 is tomorrow morning at 8:37 a.m. It's sunset in Jerusalem. They're 10 hours ahead. So that's Tishri 1. The following day will be Tishri 2. It's a two-day feast, and no one knew when the sighting of the new moon would be. So when they saw the new moon, the feast began now. Till this day. The feast will actually begin with God when they see this. When they see the sliver of the new moon. So the sliver may come on Tishri 1 or it may come on Tishri 2. It'll come on one of those 2 days. That's why he said no one knew the day or the hour. That's where that came from. But the English connotation, through all the theologians, through a loop, oh, no one knows the day or the hour. He was talking about the new moon. They didn't know what day. Was it the first day or the second day? And they didn't know what hour they would see. Once they saw the new moon, they would announce it. The feast has began. The feast has began. See, when you start learning the Hebraic root to this, God will open up your understanding. God will give you that revelation to it. But when you just read it in English, it does us no justice. It doesn't. So now, HaKidushin Nesuim, the wedding of the Messiah. Look at this. I need you to catch this. How many saw the movie Before the Wrath? You remember that? We showed it. It was about a Galilean wedding. Beautiful, wasn't it? Okay. So look at this. Marriages were arranged by the parents for Abraham and for Isaac. Look at this. Typically, the young man would go to the house of the bride-to-be carrying three items: a large sum of money, a betrothal contract, and skin of wine. Anyone arriving at a house with these three items were definitely considered a prospect. So this is how they would come and seek out their bride, the males. If the bridal price was approved, a glass of wine was poured. If she approved, the betrothal contract became a legal document between the two. Their status was betrothed rather than fully married, even though they were called husband and wife. So if she drank that cup, she goes, "You're going to be my husband." Okay? Look at this. In Ezekiel 16, it says, "When I passed by you again and looked upon you, indeed your time was a time of love. So I spread my wing over you and covered you. It covered your nakedness. Yes, I swore an oath to you and entered into a covenant with you, and you became mine, says the Lord God. Then I washed you in water. Yes, I thoroughly washed all off your, I washed off your blood, and I anointed you with what? With oil." So in the Jewish tradition, the bridegroom would make the statement. He would go to the father's house and prepare a place for her. This place was known as the chamber. The chamber. Isn't that something? The chamber. And how many know what the chamber means? What's it called? Can you remember that? Okay. But the one in heaven is giant. Massive. So this is where they come and consummate their marriage. The bride and the groom. It's called the C-H-U-P-P-A-H. The chuppa. That's what it's called in Hebrew. And look at this. That's Jesus receiving his bride. That's going to be us. I got a similar one right here. He's coming to receive us. He's in the clouds. And we're going to be caught up. Here's the reality of this. It could be in the next 2 days. It could be. And everything would be worth it. Everything that we've done for him would be worth it. Can I get an amen? Look what he told John. John wrote this down. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know the way, you know." Praise God. So the bride has been bought with a price, and is to spend her time preparing to live as a wife and mother in Israel, spending her days learning how to please her husband and waiting for his return. So the day you got saved, all we've been doing is learning about loving the Lord, loving to learn his word, learning to lay those things aside that once captured our heart. There's things in our life we just need to let go. Can I get an amen? There's some things in our life that some of us still have that offends him. And we are to let those go. All of us have them. Every one of us in here have something we need to let go and give it to him. And we cannot compromise. We cannot compromise with God. God knows our heart. You know what compromise means? Yeah, but you know God. Yeah, but you know. No, yeah, he does know. If it's an offense to him. Listen, there are things in our life that's an enemy to him. It's an enemy to the cross. The Antichrist spirit is already here. It's already in this world. So there are things in our life we got to just let go. We had a nice discussion on Tuesday night, brother. It's just us men talking about things we need to let go. You and I had the same thing that we had to let go. That was our music. Ungodly music, cursing music. It was an offense to God. It's a curse to God. We had to let that go. If I didn't let that go, I couldn't be a pastor today. Yeah. It's not an idol. It's an abomination to God. Because it's an offense. Anytime we use bad language, the F word, the B word, the D word, all that comes out of our mouth, you have to ask yourself, is the Holy Ghost living in me? Because the Bible says, out of the heart of man comes out on who he is. So if praise and worship is coming out of your mouth, that means the Holy Ghost is living inside you. But if you got cursing stuff coming out, Holy Ghost is not there. Because light and darkness cannot go together. It will clash. It'll clash. It's like oil and water. It won't mix together. It'll separate. I know this is tough, but I'm trying to teach someone to live holy, to live right. Because he's coming again. He's coming again. And I have to stand before God. And he's going to say, did you tell them what I told you? Or were you afraid of their faces? Look at this, number two. The bridal price was established for the bride. It was established for the bride. Look at in 1 Peter 1:18. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Thank you, God. That's how we got in. It was through the blood of Jesus. Look at this, 1 Corinthians 5:19. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? And you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, what? Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Wow. Glorify God in all that we do. In our church life, our private life, our married life, our singlehood. You know, I got to commend some of you singles in here. Those of you that are single, you guys have been demonstrating holiness, upwardness. And it's not easy. But you know what? There's a reward from God. Amen. And until then, let him be your lover. Amen. Can I get an amen? Amen? Let Jesus be your lover. He'll bring you that knight in shining armor, or he'll bring you that princess. He will. He brought me mine. He picked a flower out of his garden and gave it to me. But he gave it to me looking at me like, now water her, wash her, cleanse her, love her, And for 28 now? 29 now. That's what I've been doing. Can I get amen? She was saying, "Oh, you're not. No, you treat me like this." No, I don't. I love her every day. Thank you, God. I told her in Brooklyn, "You two are my favorite women in the world." Sophia too. She comes in third. I won't tell her that though. And Ella. I love them all. Oh, you guys for watching? Ah! Got caught with my hand in the cookie jar here. Let's move on. Look at this. The bride and groom are betrothed. Let's move on. Listen. This legally binds the two together, but they don't live together. So for a whole year, listen, it's been 2,000 years that Jesus went away. And he's going to come back for us. He's going to come back for us. How many believe he's going to come back for us? Oh, yes, he is. He's going to come back for us. Look what Hosea wrote down. "I will betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and justice and loving kindness and mercy. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness. You shall know the Lord. It shall come to pass in that day that I will answer, says the Lord, and I will answer the heavens, and they shall" what? "Answer the earth." Praise God. Look at this. "The earth shall answer with grain, with new wine, with oil. They shall answer Jezreel. Then I will sow her for myself in the earth, and I will have mercy on her who had not obtained mercy. Then I will say to those who are not my people, 'You are my people,' and they shall say, 'You are my God.'" Come on, give God a shout of praise, because at one time we were not his people. Woo, we're coming in for a close here. We're coming in for a close. Look at this. The written document drawn up called the Ketubah, which states the bride price, promises of the groom, and the rights of the bride. The Bible is our Ketubah. Okay, so I want you to know this, that the Word of God that you have on your lap, that's our contract. That's our Ketubah. Because the promises are there. It's in the Word. It's God's word to us. And if we believe the promises, then it was for you. It was for me. Can I get amen? God is not like a man that could lie. God cannot lie to us. I'm so blessed to know that he cannot lie to us. Look at this. In 2 Corinthians 1:20, "For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ has anointed us to God, who also has sealed us and given us the spirit of our hearts as a" what? Guarantee. It's a guarantee that we're sealed to be with him. Can I get an amen? That's right. God's not an Indian giver. Remember that? I want that back. After you gave your friend a toy. Remember when you were little? You gave your friend a toy, and then I want it back. I want it back. God don't do that to us. God don't do that to us. Thank you. I mean, listen, real quickly. Uh-oh. Plug that in, sister. Unplugged. It went back on. Your chair moved it. Okay. So, let's look at this for a moment. The bride must give an account or consent to "I do." Okay, so we all read that during ancient times the son and his father would go and seek out that bride, right? And then once they agreed, she would take the wine and take a sip of it, and that was her I do. That was her I do. What's your I do? What's our I do? Do we take a sip of a cup of wine too? No, where's our I do? Remember I told you the contract's in the Word. Our contract with God, our marriage contract is in the Bible. It's in Romans 10:9. Look at this. Romans 10:9. Here's our I do. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. There it is right there. That's our I do. Did you catch that now? For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So the way she said yes, she drank the wine. We said yes to the Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. And that consummated it. Then Jesus said, you're mine. You're mine. You're mine. Lord have mercy. Look at this. Look at verse 11. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who will call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Woo, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And so we're going to spend time with the marriage supper of the Lamb. How many can't wait for that? The marriage supper of the Lamb. When he takes us home, look at this. Let us be glad. Revelation 19:7. Let us be glad. Are you getting something out of this? We got just a little bit more scriptures. Can I finish? Can I finish? Are you guys getting tired? All right. Look at this. Revelation 19:7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come. And his wife has made herself ready. That's the church. That's us. Hallelujah. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen. Clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Hallelujah. Washed in the blood. Filled with the spirit of promise. Can I get an amen? Amen. Look at this. Then he said to me, write. Blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. Thank you. Thank you, God. And so, once we consummate that, then we're going to see the coronation of the King. We're going to see God the Father crown his Son, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's called Ha-Melech, coronation. And I only got a few scriptures and then we close. Can I get amen? Amen? Look at this. In Psalms 98, with trumpets and the sound of a horn, shout joyfully before the Lord, the King. Let the sea roar in its fullness. The world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord. For he is coming to judge the earth with righteousness. He shall judge the world and peoples with what? Equity. Look at this in Hebrews 1:8. But to the Son he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. Woo! Look at Psalms 47. Oh, clap your hands, all you peoples. Shout to God with the voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is awesome. He is a great King over all the earth. He will subdue the peoples under us and the nations under our feet. He will choose our inheritance for us, the excellence of Jacob, whom he loves. Praise God. We find this in Titus, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one what? Despise you. I close in Peter, and then we'll close. Look at this. Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. You therefore, look at this, as also in these epistles, speaking in them of these things, which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist in their own destruction. My goodness. Look at this. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. But grow, say that with me, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. I want you to catch that, and we're going to close. It says, you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, look at this. He says, beware lest you also fall from your steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. Did you catch that? You know what that means? Following wicked people. Following people that don't have nothing to do with God. We cannot fall away with the error of the wicked. There's people in our lives that have nothing to do with God. They just curse. They still drink. They still smoke. They want nothing to do. Don't be in their path, or you'll be steered away. Look at this. It says, beware. God is saying, beware. Being led away with the error of the wicked. We cannot be in their path. Can I get an amen? We need to excommunicate ourselves from those folks. Because they, you know what their whole goal is? They won't tell you. Let me just ask you this question. I'm going to be blunt. I'm talking to the West Wing. I'm talking to the North Wing here. Who is their father? Satan is their father. Until you become born again, you are not a child of God. So why are we hanging out with Satan's kids? Can you ask yourself that? I'm giving you the truth. We got to learn how to just, we preach to them and then move on. Because they're never going to praise God unless God gets a hold of their heart. God has to do it. Can I get an amen? Amen? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. We praise you. Lord, we exalt you. We magnify you. Lord, we give you praise, glory, and honor. For it all belongs to you, God. All of it does. And Lord, and by faith, open up your heart. God is coming soon. This is the time to get right or get left. And this is not a political slogan. It's either get right with God or get left behind. And so pray this prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Come on, is he worthy?
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.